Amen. What a blessing that was. It's always a blessing to meet EDC families serving the Lord together. And whether it's just coming to church together or it's using their talents and singing or getting involved in ministry together, it's just a blessing to serve the Lord together as families. Luke in chapter 7. Luke in chapter 7 as we continue our study, our midweek Bible study has been on the life of John the Baptist. The life of John the Baptist. We've had a couple lessons already on the life of John the Baptist, and basically trying to answer this question, and that is, who was John the Baptist? Who was John the Baptist? And I think we need to have that answered before we actually start studying more of the life of John the Baptist concerning his birth, and the Bible records everything that God wants us to know about John the Baptist, and because it's another testimony for us to look to. John was going to be pointing people to Christ, and after Christ, it's been our responsibility, every born-again believer since that time, to point people back to Christ and to the cross of Calvary, and what a blessing that is. So it's very important that we understand this person of John the Baptist. Jesus himself answers this question, and that's what we're looking at here. And so we're going back to Luke in chapter 7. We've been here since we started. That was just a couple of messages. This will be the third and final message because we will have completed what Jesus said about him, and then we'll go back and actually study the birth of John and all that took place with his coming. Okay, so here, Luke chapter 7, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading verse 24 down to verse 28. Luke chapter 7, verse 24. Now, John at this time is still alive, but he's in prison. He's getting ready to be martyred for his witness for Christ, getting ready to have his head taken off. For simply standing where God wanted him to stand. And so look here in verse 24. It says, "And when the messengers of John were departed, Jesus, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went you out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you, again, we thank you for this another opportunity just to be in church. And God, as we take advantage of our opportunity to be in church, it's what we need spiritually to be encouraged and strengthened and be able to continue to live the Christian life as you'd have us to live it. And so I thank you for the opportunities and those that have taken advantage of their opportunity to be here tonight. And I pray, God, that you'd meet with us, that you'd just speak to each one as they have need to be spoken to, encourage and strengthen us in our walk in faith in thee. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we find that he asked them some questions. Says, what went ye out into the wilderness for to see? Meaning that John was out in the wilderness preaching, and the people actually went out to hear him. It was not that he came knocking on their door. I mean, they would be doing some of that, but John was in the wilderness preaching, and as he was just preaching, the more they heard about what was taking place in the wilderness, they heard about this man John, it caused them to want to travel out to the wilderness to hear John. And so now Jesus is addressing them at the end of John's ministry, after he had a tremendous ministry and baptizing those that would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, believing him to come and believing that he would go to the cross of Calvary, all the things that John was preparing, and we'll study that later on as we study the life of John. But Jesus is answering that question, who John was. And he said, what led you to go out to the wilderness to hear somebody preach? He said, Was it a reed? And of course, the answer was, no, it was not a reed. That's what he says, is what went you out for to see in the wilderness, for to see a reed shaken with that wind? Question mark. Would you actually travel to go out into the wilderness and spend the time and the effort to hear somebody that's going to say one thing one minute, say another thing the next minute, and be, if you would, waver from whatever subject to the next? Would somebody like that be someone that you'd want to go hear, that you'd sacrifice time and money to go out to hear this man? He said he wasn't a reed. So we find here that Jesus explained to us who John was. First of all, says he's not one that was going to be easily shaken. He was going to be one that was more as a pillar. Instead of a reed that would be blown around with the wind, he would be more of a pillar that no matter how hard the wind would blow, he was going to remain the same. That's John. That's what the first thing that he says about him. And then he says, but what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. He said, behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. And so, did you go out to hear someone who was consumed with the fashions and the lifestyle of the world? Is that why you went out to hear him? Because you heard that he could tell you what were the latest styles, so you know how to dress, so you know how to make the best dressed list in America, whatever it might be? And it seems like that the world that we live in today, it's all about the best dressed. It's all about the fashions and lifestyles of the rich and famous, or the world, the movie stars or the athletes or whoever it might be. That's all about. That's what they're looking for. He said, is that what led you out to hear John? And it was not the reason that he went out to hear John. They knew he was not. He was dressed in camel's hair. Amen. I mean, you could just tell. I think he was making a statement. I'm not going to identify with the world and how I appear. If you're coming out to see me, it's not because you're trying to, that you think I'm identifying with the world and can give you the latest tips on the fashions of the world and the lifestyle of the world. That's not why you came to hear me. You come to hear me because I'm a prophet. That's what it goes on to say. John was standing that his ground and saying, if you're coming out to hear me, you're coming out to hear me because what you're hearing is meeting a spiritual need that you maybe didn't even realize that you had. But you know that what I'm telling is, what I'm preaching is truth. And so that's what Jesus said in 26. He said, but what went ye out for to see? A prophet. And they all would say, yeah, that's why we went out. We heard that he was a prophet. We heard he was preaching the words of God. And possibly that he might even be the Messiah himself. And so we heard this man, and had everyone was talking, raving over the wisdom and the knowledge and the power that he had in his preaching this word. John was known as a preacher. And so they went out to hear what this prophet had to say. And he said, yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. Now, the theme of the life of John has been, and I think will be as we go through this, and who John is he's one that was steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. When you look to John, that's what you see. That's how his life can impact our lives today. And that's exactly what God would write to the church of Corinth through the Apostle Paul, is that you be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That is God's will for our lives. John was one who knew who he was and what he was here to do. I'll tell you what, if we just get a hold of that, it'll make a difference in your life. Know who you are. Don't try to be something you're not. Don't try to identify and be what the world wants you to be. Don't try to be what anyone else wants you to be outside of God. Because if you are saved, You're not your own anymore. You're His. If you understand that's who you are, you're His, then you understand He has a purpose for your life. And so know who you are and what you're here to do. John the Baptist, that was his life. Amen. What a great testimony. He was a prophet. A prophet, one who speaks for God. When they went out to hear him, they didn't go out to hear his philosophies on life. They didn't go out to hear all of the stories that he wanted to tell them. Didn't go out there to find laughter. They went out there to hear what thus saith the Lord. Because they went out to believing he was a prophet. A prophet was one that they looked at and realized came from God. And so if God had a message for them, they knew that they needed to hear it from the prophet. That's Old Testament, we know, coming in. Now after this, we have all the prophecies of God, the completed revelation of what God has for humanity right here in this book. And so prophets today are revealed and called preachers. Because we're not prophesying something that has not been written down. The prophet today is to be a preacher of the word of God. And so we find here that he was a prophet, one who speaks for God. So tonight we're going to complete this and what Jesus says about him. And I think it'll be a help to us. Because the first thing that he says, after we already realize now, they went out to see him because he was a prophet. He was speaking the word of God. I trust that one of the main reasons you come to church and sit through a preaching service is because you want to hear the message of God's word. You want to better understand God's word. You want to have a increased knowledge of the Bible. And that's why if you believe what the Bible teaches, our theme of the church, attend a church that teaches the Bible. Attend a place where you know that you're going to hear Bible preached. And so we find here the Bible says, yea, I say unto you, he's a prophet, but much more than a prophet. Now, this is Jesus saying that there's been a lot of prophets. You've heard a lot of prophets. You've heard a lot of people that will stand and say, thus saith the Lord. Old Testament, New Testament. But he said, John, much more than a prophet. Then he clarifies that a little bit in verse 27 when he says, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee, the way before Christ. He was not the Christ. And we'll see that he tells them quite plainly later on as we study his life, what the Bible says. He was not the Christ, but he was the messenger that would go before Christ. The one who would prepare the way for the Savior of the world. For God to become man. The messenger. Malachi chapter 1. What he's talking about is what was prophesied in the Old Testament. And that's what they were to look for. The first sign of the New Testament. The first sign of the coming of the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world, the virgin-born Son of God, the first thing that they were to look to was the messenger that would come before him. And so in Malachi, in chapter 3, in verse 1, he says, behold, now there was 400 silent years between the last of the Old Testament prophets, amen, until the New Testament, 400 years. And so the last thing that they have revealed to them concerning the coming of the Messiah is found in the book of Malachi. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay, so we find here that in preparation, all of Israel realized that the Messiah was coming. And if they understood, had the knowledge of the prophets of the Old Testament, they would realize that they look for a messenger to prepare the way for the Messiah. That's what they were waiting for. That's what they were looking for. Now they hear that there's somebody out in the wilderness preaching like no one else we've ever heard preach before. He's a little bit peculiar. Amen. Not weird, but peculiar. Different from the world. Amen. Identify with that. And so they said, we got to go out and hear him. And anybody that heard him said, you have to go hear him. This, if he's not the Messiah, he has to be the messenger that was to come before the Messiah. Now, Jesus is telling us this. That's what we're looking at. Who was John the Baptist? In Mark, in the book of Mark in chapter 1, look there with me. Much more than a prophet. That's the first thing that we're looking at here for the message tonight. John was a prophet, but he was much more than a prophet. That means that John was one that was going to speak the word of God, but he was much more than just somebody preaching the word of God. He was the messenger. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. They knew he was going to be in the wilderness. He was not coming into the cities at the beginning. He just began his preaching in the wilderness, and they would come out to hear him. Amen. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. That's what he was preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He didn't mess around with them. He told it exactly the way it was. You're sinners and you need to repent. If you have any hope of all of being reconciled to God, if you want any hope of all at all about making it to heaven, you have to repent because you're a sinner. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus, the Messiah, is here. The Savior of the world. So that's what we find in the book of Mark. And now in the book of Luke, go back with me. In the book of Luke, if you go back to chapter 1 and verse 76 and verse 77. Luke in chapter 1, verse 76. As he's revealing that John the Baptist, who he was going to be as he's coming. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. The prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Okay, so that's what Jesus was saying. But now we got a little bit more insight here concerning that. Verse 77. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. To give knowledge, that means that he had to have the knowledge. He had to know who he was. He was the messenger. He was the one that prepared the way for the Lord. Salvation had come. The Messiah, the sacrificial lamb, had come. The knowledge of everything about the Old Testament, pointing to the New Testament, pointing to the New Covenant, was here. No one before John had that kind of knowledge. The knowledge to live to know that he was here. The knowledge to know that salvation is going to come by the blood of Christ. And there would be an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He understood that. And he would establish this New Testament church age. John had that knowledge of the new and living way, the New Testament. Now, that's important that you understand that, because you go back now, it helps us to better understand what Jesus said about who John was. Much more than a prophet. Much more knowledge than any before him. He was a prophet, and there was a lot of prophets in the Old Testament. But this is much more. Why? What set him above it? Why was he called? Why did Jesus say he was much more than just an Old Testament prophet, a preacher? Because he had much more knowledge than any before him. Which leads to the second thing he says about him. Verse 28. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet. Much more than a prophet. But then the second thing he says about John, in helping us to understand who this is that we're getting ready to study the entire life of and learn all these the biblical truths that God has for us, he said he's, first of all, he is much more than a prophet. And now he says, of all those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Jesus saying that there's not a greater prophet. All the prophets were great. He's talking about all the great prophets of the Old Testament. Moses. Looked on it. One of the greatest prophets of the entire Old Testament would have been Moses. Not greater than John. Elijah. Calling fire down from heaven. What a great prophet the prophet Elijah was. Not as great as John. Elisha. Jeremiah. Isaiah. And I could go on and on and on. And all of those God has used to prophesy the end times. And they're all written down in the book of God, the Bible. And we have all these great prophets that God has used in bringing in the Word of God that he had, the Old Testament. But now he's saying, out of all of those great prophets, there's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. That, now, stop and think about that. He's telling them that they had an opportunity to go talk to Moses. They had an opportunity to go talk to Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Isaiah, they travel a long distance to go hear one of those guys. And he's telling them, you heard somebody greater. In that he was much more, he had greater knowledge. Much more knowledge than any before him. None up till this time had more knowledge of God, more knowledge of God's truths, more knowledge of God's faith in God's will than John the Baptist. He was much more and great because of his faith in knowing more. Because of his faith in knowing more. They have faith in what they had the knowledge of in the Old Testament. These great prophets, they've stood and preached what God had them to preach. And they had faith in what they were preaching because that's what God revealed to them. The knowledge they had, they were going to stand and preach that word. And they did. But John was much more. Because he had greater knowledge and he had faith in the knowledge that he was given. Do we have faith in the knowledge that we have? Do we have the knowledge that we could have? The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You have to have access to the knowledge. You have to have what it is that God says. You got to hear it to know what it is to be able to have faith in it. Once you know what it says, and once you've had that opportunity to receive the knowledge of God, is your faith in that knowledge? Greater faith must come by way of greater knowledge. And then living out what we believe. That's John. He realized that he did not get everything that he knew from anyone else but God. And he knew the Messiah was alive. Now, I don't know everything that went on for the first 30 so years of John. It tells a little bit about it, but it highlights what he did when he was preaching out in the wilderness, and that was right before Jesus came preaching. They were just months apart in their birth. But God revealed to John this knowledge that he was to be the messenger that was prophesied of Old Testament. Now he's out in the wilderness. Jesus presenting, he's out in the wilderness. So why'd you go out and hear him? Because he's a prophet. One that stood and preached what thus saith the Lord. And he said, yes, you're right, he was. But let me tell you something else now. He was much more than a prophet. Think about what he's said to you, everything, and you'll understand now. You'll have a greater appreciation for John once I've come. You have a greater appreciation for what he taught you. You have a greater appreciation for everything, all the knowledge that he was able to share with you concerning me now that I've come. You're going to have more knowledge, and now you just have to have faith in the knowledge that you have received. John could not have done what he did without the knowledge that he had. He could not have been the forerunner, the messenger, preparing the way for the Lord if he didn't have the knowledge of Jesus. And that he was, that was his responsibility. That's what he was here to do. And not only did he have to have that knowledge as far as who he was, but a commitment to living out God's will. Which applies to every one of us here tonight. John was one who knew who he was and what he was here to do. You have the knowledge of knowing who you are in Christ. And can I tell you, the more you learn about that, the stronger you'll be as a Christian. Amen. The more confidence you'll have in dealing with whatever you have to deal with. The greater the peace that you can have from God, the greater the joy, the things that God has promised to us, the greater your knowledge, the more you understand who you are and what God has you here to do. Once you have the knowledge, and all you have to do is commit yourself to the knowledge. Have faith in that. You see, it's when we allow Satan to blind us to truth that we begin to doubt. And when we doubt the truth, we fail. Matthew chapter 14. Go over there with me. Perfect example of this with Peter. Peter was giving knowledge. Jesus was teaching his disciples. They were gaining more knowledge. And I'm telling you what, he started realizing what he was there to do. He was there to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to be his disciple, to be one of his apostles. And he was gaining knowledge, and he had faith in his knowledge. He knew who Jesus was. And when Jesus came walking on the water, and Peter was there in that boat, and there were storms all around him, and he looked out at Jesus with all the faith and the knowledge, knowing who he was, and said, "Bid me come unto thee." Had all the faith in the world. And the knowledge that Jesus could allow him, if necessary, to walk on water. And we find here in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 31. Or verse 30. Let's go back to 29. He says, "And come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Can I tell you that that's all it takes? Is faith in the knowledge? If we have faith in the knowledge that we can do whatever God would have us to do, not only walking on water, but moving mountains. As long as we keep the faith in the knowledge that he has revealed to us. And a commitment to that faith. To apply it to our lives. Peter had a commitment to that. And he actually got out of the ship. And he started walking on the water. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, cried saying, "Lord, save me." Peter, come on. What happened to your faith and the knowledge that you received? Have you ever been there? When you step out of the ship and you hear that lightning, you're closer to the storm. It's dark. Before you know it, you forget what you know. Satan blinds you to truth. Satan blinds you to the knowledge that God has already given to you if you just believe in it. When Satan blinds you to the knowledge that God's already given to you and your faith is not in that knowledge any longer, you'll fail. And you'll start sinking. Look what Jesus said to him. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, look right here, powerful words, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" If you hadn't have doubted, Peter, you could have walked, you could have stayed up on the water. But you allowed Satan to blind you to what your faith and the knowledge. And when you're blinded to the faith and the knowledge, you'll have doubt. When you have doubt, we fail. Luke in chapter 22. Luke in chapter 22. Amen. This is who John the Baptist, this is what Jesus is able to use his life to be an encouragement to us to understand these things. Luke in chapter 22 and verse 31. Again, Simon Peter. Now, through that experience, I think Peter learned some things. You don't go through experience as a born-again believer. If you have the knowledge that God wants us to have, you don't go through an experience without there being a purpose for it. That's the knowledge that we ought to have. And so we find here at the end, when Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, before he goes, verse 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." That's knowledge. I want you to have that knowledge, Peter. You'll need it. But I also want you to know this, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." You're going to be tossed around by it. It's going to be a tremendous storm. And he would even tell him, "You're going to deny me 3 times. When it's all happening, your faith is going to be tested. Your faith is going to be shaken. But I prayed for you. And I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Faith in the knowledge you'll gain through this, Peter. You're going to go through this. Your faith is going to be shaken. But I pray that you would hold on to the knowledge that I've just spoken to you about. And it happened after he denied him 3 times, the cock crew. And it all came back to him exactly what Jesus told him, that's what's going to happen. The knowledge. He had the knowledge. And because he got the knowledge ahead of time, when it happened, he saw it. His faith was increased. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:13, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." Watch, stand fast in the faith. Amen. Faith in the knowledge that you have. Faith in the knowledge that God's revealed to us in His Word. No matter what's taken place, don't let Satan steal your faith in the knowledge that you have. Much more than a prophet. Had a plan for him. He revealed it to him, and it's not any greater. He fulfilled. He was able to fulfill his purpose on this world, on this earth. Because of the faith and the knowledge he had. Ephesians in chapter 6. Look there with me. Almost done here. Almost done. But what a powerful help there. Ephesians in chapter 6. You know the chapter very well. It's the spiritual armor that we have. He's talking about spiritual warfare in chapter 6 and verses 10 through 12. I mean, we fight spiritual warfare. Knowledge. God says, have this knowledge. Put faith in this, knowing that you're going to fight spiritual warfare. Satan is very much alive and well. He's going to attack you every day of your life. He's going to make you try to think it's all physical. It's not first of all physical. It is first of all spiritual. Have the knowledge of that every day. This physical life is really not what's most important. What's most important is understanding the spiritual battles that are fought on a daily basis. Have the knowledge of that. Have faith in knowing that I can overcome these spiritual battles. And if I win the spiritual battles, I will win the physical battles. That's what he tells. And that's why he tells us about the armor. Knowledge. If you don't have the knowledge of the armor, how can you put it on? You have the knowledge, but do you have faith in it, or are we doing it? And so he gives us all this spiritual armor in order to be able to have the victories, spiritual victories. But what I want you to see is verse 16. Above all, spiritual battles every day. The armor that he has for us, above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith in the knowledge. Don't second guess spiritual battles. They're there. That's what it is. If you see it for what it is, can I tell you, you're closer to the victory. You're closer to overcoming it. If you don't see it for what it is, you're closer to failure. You will fail if you don't have faith in the knowledge that God's given to us. So above all, this armor, every day, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith in that knowledge. John was much more than a prophet. There was not a greater prophet. It's what Jesus was telling to us about that. But now go back in closing. We'll find, and maybe you've had questions about this last little bit he says about John. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater. Now he's just told us how great John was. He just told us how much he's much more than a prophet. But then to help you to understand exactly what he was talking about, he says, but he is least in the kingdom of God. He is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Everyone in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist? What's he talking about there? What he's telling us is all those already in the kingdom, all those that have already lived this life are now in the presence of God, have even greater knowledge. Have even greater knowledge than what John had. Because no matter how great a man he was, and even though he was the forerunner for Christ, he was still a man and he was limited in what he could fully understand. And everyone that has lived this life as in the presence of God, is far greater knowledge. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Get ready to shout if you want. Go ahead. Help yourself. 1 John chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't fully understand all about heaven, what we should be. We know we have glorified bodies, and know all. We don't still, our limitations hinder us. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. But that's not the shouting point. Look right here. For we shall see him as he is. When faith becomes sight. When having faith in the knowledge that God has given to us, we've got to live by faith right now. One day faith will turn into sight. And when we see it, no longer have to live by faith, we'll have even greater knowledge. It's even greater than what we could ever imagine. It goes beyond our human comprehension. And so even though none greater than John, much more than a prophet, anyone who has seen God is greater. Today we have more knowledge than any who have lived before us. At least it's been made available to us. When you understand this, how could you not want to have all the knowledge about God that he's given to us? That's a motivator to come to church. It's a motivator to read your Bible. It's a motivator to pray more often, just stay in the presence of God. It's a motivator to come back Sunday nights. It's a motivator to come early Sunday morning for Sunday school. It's a motivator to come out on Wednesday night. I want to have all the knowledge that I can have concerning God. And once I have the knowledge, I just have to put my faith in that knowledge. We cannot allow Satan, especially in the tough times, especially in the storms of life, to blind us to the knowledge of God. Because then if you don't have the knowledge, if you don't believe it's true, you cannot, won't have faith in it. Steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's John the Baptist. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. I want that to be said about me. That's how I want to live my life. If you have any spiritual insight at all, you'd want that said about you. If you're saved, that's how you would want to live your life. If you have the knowledge, it's available to us all. What are you doing to gain the knowledge? And once you've gained the knowledge, is that where you keep your faith? Keep your faith in the knowledge of God's Word. Right now is an invitation time. I'm not going to have a musical invitation. Very seldom do on Wednesday nights. We do every now and then. But making decisions, applying whatever God spoke to you about, increasing your knowledge, increasing your commitment to the knowledge that you already have, whatever it might be. God's speaking to you. If you have a desire to do that, you can do that. The only one's keeping you back from the knowledge that God has for you is you and Satan. He would love to hinder you. He'd love to keep you from ever learning the things that we can know about God. Don't let him do it. Anyone else? Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the opportunity to be here on Wednesday night. Pray that you'd help each one of us, Lord, to take in what you have revealed to us tonight. And before we even leave here, already commit to whatever decisions and whatever changes, whatever things we need to commit to in order to gain more knowledge and to continue to have our faith in that knowledge. Be with each one that's made a decision tonight. Strengthen them. Be with all of us as we leave here tonight. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.